PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, my friends, and welcome back to a brand new episode of the original Off Course. I am your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me again is my good friend, Mr. James Miles. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing this evening when we're recording? Question mark? It tells you what kind of day I've had, right?
Heavy, heavy excitement in the evening record. We're recording on a Wednesday night. I'm awesome. I actually booked a random 5:20 tea time this evening with my wife and son, Mr. Cal and Mama Laura. We had a great time out there. Cal is pounding the ball right now, James. You have no idea.
I totally believe it, though. Like, he's pure talent.
He's an athlete, yeah. I'm trying to get him to act like no other sports exist, but he's so fully invested in, like, everything that isolating to golf has been a real challenge.
Give it time. Just give it time.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I mean, all of America at this point is pure on football. I know you've got a small background in the art of the football. What's
just a bit,
just a teens. What is the Miles residence like when football season hits? Does anything change?
There's a lot of PTSD surrounding football season in this house because, I coached it for over a decade. And that was just kind of the time of year where Amanda and I, like, it tested how much she loved me. I'll put it that way. It's hard to be a coach's wife. So there's still a little bit of that. Now when football season rolls around, I'm really big on watching my Sooners, which will make some people mad. That makes me happy. And Ollie's gotten into it. So like this last weekend, he sat next to me in the chair the entire time and watched the whole game. That was pretty cool. Because there was lots of questions and stuff, but it drives the girls nuts.
What's the drinking age in Oklahoma? Did he grab a couple Coors Lights or what?
I was on my best behavior whenever he came in and said, "Dad, can I sit next to you?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, bud." So
Saturdays are the big day in the Miles household. Mm-hmm. What is Sunday like? Are you an NFL guy?
When I'm attached to fantasy. That's about
we're in the same league, aren't we? That's the most I know about fantasy football is we share the same THP league.
It's fantasy's actually made me interested in the NFL again. Like I grew up being here, you're surrounded by Dallas fans. And if there's disdain in my voice there, it's very intentional, I assure you. So I was a Green Bay fan growing up because Reggie White and Brett Favre, like those were my guys. And after that era kind of ended, I kind of moved away from pro football. And then I get into fantasy and now it's easy because you just watch players instead of teams.
Okay.
And I, for the most part, I enjoy it all. Baker's not on the Browns anymore, so I can hate the Browns again. So that's cool.
I have a Browns story for you. And I guess it all kind of wait. Like, yeah, it's like a full cycle. So in our family, and by our family, I mean my wife's family, so her family's from Cleveland and her sister is a rabid Browns fan, like aggressively Browns fan. I don't know how or why, because we've all seen what happened the last 30 years there, but she is all in on the Browns and her husband happens to be all in Pittsburgh born Steelers fan. So it's like a disaster going to that house.
Yes.
But then my wife, as innocent as she is, with all respect to filters, doesn't give a flying bleep about the Browns and never has for 30 some odd. And I'm being generous here. Some odd years. Oh. She does not care about the Browns. So now that she's in Cincinnati and we have a child who, and Calvin is all in on Cincinnati because, you know, Joey B,
that's right.
Jamar Chase, like this is potentially something quite viable here for the first time in forever. He's all in. And so she's actually been watching with us and went through the whole Super Bowl experience. We had a really good time. And then suddenly like this year comes around and she's like actually invested.
That's
so
awesome.
We bought her a jersey. We got her a cheap one, but it's like a really nice one. It was AJ Green. He obviously moved on, but you know, hooked her up with a really sweet jersey. I'm the only one in the house who doesn't have one at this point. Hint, hint, when she doesn't listen to this. So we get to Sunday. Everything's cool. I get home from golf and they're like on the couch, just ready to power into this game. And she's like, you can tell she's into it, which is weird because, you know, she's not into sports. So he's having fun. She's having fun. And I don't know if you happen to see the Bengals game this weekend, but it was a disaster from start to finish. Like turnovers galore. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. There was a pretty obvious catch late in the game that was a touchdown that wasn't even reviewed, which made no sense. And then finally they go to tie it up and she stands up with like a minute and a half to go. She's like, I can't do this. I can't be a football fan. And I'm like, wait, what? So I've never heard her react like that. She is in, man. She's hook, line, and sinker, all in on Bengals. And I can't, it's great. I can't wait to take her home to Cleveland.
That is truly like the sign of a football fanatic, because at some point you just get so, you either can't watch or you get angry and you start like tossing things.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic.
I do believe you're more on the angry tossing things side of the coin.
I mean, you're talking to the guy that used to headbutt his guys before games. So, yeah, you know.
Well, I suppose, I mean, it's, you know, our listenership is likely all in football. And I hope you guys are and gals are having a great time getting into the season and your team hasn't fully fallen apart yet. Kind of like apparently mine has. You know, so it does have an interesting connection because it feels like this is the real start of the fall. We get a little bit of extra time on the tee sheet if we want it Sunday afternoon. In fact, I checked our tee time or tee sheet and it was wide open for the Bengals' first game. So, I mean, get out there and play. But it also feels like that progression into those later stages of the year, which sucks for me, man, because sun's going down earlier. It's getting cooler, which I actually really like, but you know, does it feel like this season's wrapping up for you?
It was like 98 degrees here today. So a week ago we had like one day of 78 and I was like, man, I'm ready to unpack the quarter zips and here we go. It's time. So it's closer though, but like, it's been interesting this year with like me coaching my boys and being out there and being around it. And we're noticing, we had a conversation on it today, actually, about how much daylight we're losing much quicker. And it's kind of sets in with that little bit of, well, that sucks. Because before long, by the time we roll around at the end of practice at, you know, 5:30 or so, it's going to be time to go home and it's going to be getting dark and everything's kind of, it gets a little depressing, but not near what you face up there. We stay at least tame enough that I can keep it in, you know, the high 40s, low 50s most of the year and get out there. But I know you guys get a lot more of that wintry precipitation than we do.
The floaty white stuff. Yeah, screw that. I think I'm the only one in my household who deeply opposes snowfall. But you know, the problem here is just you get that sense of departure from freedom of play. You know, when you check the tee sheet, it no longer says 7 a.m. start. Now it says 8 a.m. start. You're like, okay, I know it's coming. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's just this, it's way worse. I mean, we've got a friend from THP who lives up in the Yukon territories. I can't imagine how he's feeling, you know, his brief golf season. But, you know, when I look at it here, it's like I'm almost scrambling for that next thing that I can do. And this is an interesting segue, I think, because I actually went to a really cool spot this week on my birthday, which was on Monday, and did a couple hours of sim golf with our good buddy Andy and had a great time. But man, I'll tell you what, sim golf is a totally different animal if you have anything other than a completely common swing. So can I unpack that, or do you feel like you need like early reaction
before? No, because I agree. Like, I think that's the best way of phrasing it. It's an entirely different beast than what we're used to, because both you and I kind of play the game a little bit different than most do at times mentally. So then you get thrown into sim golf and it's a different world, man.
Yeah. So let's build this up a little bit in saying that I know it's not a super common thing to have these issues. My basic flaw is path right now. I'm hard inside. I used to always play a pull draw and now I'm kind of like playing a pull fade, which is disastrous in whatever way you want to speak about it. But with anything with an iron face, like an iron like face, I can make it work. So like I'm blasting my utilities. It's not a huge deal. I'm sort of like the shout out to Mizuno, the fly eyes for just absolutely saving my golf year. But I know I'm out to in, and I got on TrackMan Sim this week, and this was like a day after playing golf and like striping all day. And like from the first point out there, we played a par three to loosen up, which was really fun. Everything from like a mid iron in, and then I pulled a five iron, which I had legitimately hit one like 215 the day before. My first hit was like 185 in this banana slice. And I'm just like, what? So we're working to understand like, okay, this thing's set up here, so you need to aim here, but you got to do this and aim there. And it's like, dude, there's like a whole equation based construction into how you swing on a sim, and it's got to be totally different than what you do outside. Am I being crazy?
No, you're not being crazy. It's I mean, I've in the last year kind of gotten heavy into with the Bushnell, basically the GC3, and starting to mess with some of the sim stuff side of it, because I've always just been very heavy, straight up go out, get data outside, record it, move on. When you throw the sim aspect into it, some funky things happen. But the funkiest experiences that I've ever had on sims have been TrackMan. I'm not saying that to like poo-poo on anything, but it's been my experience, and your experience kind of is the same thing. But it's funny because then you start playing golf swing in the sim instead of just hitting the ball, which is the point of playing sim golf. Just go hit the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. It trips me out. Like it doesn't take a whole lot in some of that stuff to really mess with my mind, but you get into that rhythm of things and it really does trip me out.
That's the weird part, because I've spent a lot of time in the tech studio, and maybe it's more familiarity on the quad, but the quad has,
I'm interrupting you.
Go ahead.
It was really easy in the tech studio because you had your smiley face that you just hit consistently.
Oh yeah. So James is referring to
shout out to JB and the smiley face.
A very small part of the screen that I tended to hit a fair bit, but it almost seemed like, I don't know, like we can even go on a different tangent, and maybe we will after this, but I think alignment in golf is such an unbelievably critical thing. And I don't even mean just generally speaking, being set up to the right thing. Like visually speaking, if you disagree with alignment, and what I mean by that is, with the TrackMan, they had this thing set up. It was like this little tag on the ground. It said, this is where the TrackMan's aiming, so this is where you should be hitting toward. And I thought that was really interesting, and fair play to that. And we tried to move it around a little bit to adapt to it. But when I go out on a golf course, and I've had lots of people where I've worked with this, I play on a golf course that's basically designed to screw up your alignment. Every tee box is aimed the wrong spot. But like the amount of people, and you can do this, anyone who's listening, and you can go and talk to your fellow playing partner that day and say, where do you think you're lined up right now? And the second they tell you, and the second you tell them, well, actually, you're like 50 yards to the right of that, they're like, no way, bullshit. Uh-huh. And you're like, do you want me to take a picture? Do you want to put like a golf club down so you can see where your feet are? You know, it's amazing what our brains can do, because obviously there's a lot of equations going on in our own heads to make things look the way they should be. So I think it's sort of compounding that issue where if I typically would aim right on a golf course and then I get into a simulator that says, well, you need to aim at that point there, that's a much smaller and closer target. So the likelihood of me taking a similar swing into that is very unlikely. It's very unrealistic to think that I'm magically going to start utilizing that alignment in a positive way.
Yep.
So maybe my follow-up to this, James, is Do you think like being an anomaly to that is realistic, or do you think that alignment, generally speaking, is a hard translation between outdoor golf and indoor golf?
I mean,
I know that's heavy. I know it's big heavy.
But so I think most golfers have terrible alignment in general. So I think what comes into it, and it may sound bad. I don't know if it sounds bad or not. The better you get at golf, as far as being able to score and being able to keep the ball in play, let's put it that way, you learn to work with the alignment that you naturally have. And it may not be correct. Like I, unless things are getting really sideways, I hate people telling me, hey, you're set up right. I know I'm set up right. I'm set up right for a reason. That's why I think, and I've taken a lot of my high school kids to do some sim golf stuff. And it's funny with the younger guys, because you get them in that setup and they start lining up correctly. Like for them indoors, it all clicks. And then I'm on the opposite side of them. I'm like, why can't you do this outside? But it brings in all these other things, because they hyper fixate on what's in front of them. For me, I'm hyper fixating on this doesn't feel like real golf. And if I'm outside and I'm seeing what I'm seeing, this is how I'm setting up and this is how I'm playing it. And I play it that way. And the algorithm spits out that the ball does this. And I'm like, no, it's a heavy thing. It's a big thing. It's a broad thing. And there's a lot of guys that love sim golf. I wish I had like a sim golf league or thing around here. Like I would do it and enjoy it for being around people. But to me, I play so much standard golf that the sim thing gets kind of hard.
Do you know what I wonder, James? Because this is not something I do very regularly. I wonder if doing it often would sort of close the gap. And what I mean by that is the two versions of my experience. So using that sort of location, that localized or close up target line is going to translate to my outdoor play as well.
You'd acclimate.
Because outside I'm obviously making decisions that make sense based on hundreds of swings, and you commit to a line and that's just like your brain saying like, this is where you need to be to hit this particular shot. So maybe that gap closes. And my assumption is it probably gets better over time. Mm-hmm. But I think it's really interesting the challenge that is involved there. And I think the difference between TrackMan and a GC Quad is that the GC Quad is like right in front of you. You see sort of a little bit of a line. You get a fairly decent idea of where it's aimed. And then you just make assumptions from there. And I know like subtle changes is obviously going to have an impact. And there's a lot of different logic built into it that I'm not giving any credit to either device for utilizing, but I feel like it's a different experience and it's a little bit easier to accommodate to the GC Quad as opposed to using that alignment component that's 6 feet in front of your golf ball.
Well, yeah. And I mean, to be fair to TrackMan, like it's not built for indoors, period. End of conversation. It's built to track the entire flight of the golf ball. And they've managed
that,
but they've managed to create algorithms that put it. I mean, you're like me. We see a lot of italicized numbers on TrackMan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my spin rate is a problem.
Right.
For TrackMan.
I mean, and hey, shout out to Titleist. Like Titleist working to create a golf ball that is going to work better indoors on TrackMan. And by all intents and purposes, from what I've heard, everything's positive. I've not got to mess with it yet. I know we're on the website doing a pretty cool deal with Club Champion, and people are going to get to kind of mess around with that. But I think TrackMan, and I come off very negative on TrackMan. Outdoors, I've never had an issue with TrackMan. I haven't. Indoors, I've had a lot of issues with TrackMan. So the quad kind of leans that way. The other thing that gets into it, if we're going to get in the weeds of it, I mean, PGA Tour conversion has been heavy, heavy GC Quad. It's just interesting to see.
I think at the very least, using multiple devices, I think I've seen that quite a bit. which is like, you know, can you be any more psychotic?
Oh, when I went to the PGA, at the PGA championship, I took my one bag, who's now my senior, and we walked around one of the practice rounds, and it was insane the amount of guys that were carrying around on the course quads. And then we get to the range, and all those guys, almost all of them to a person, that have quads, set the quad up, and then they also set a TrackMan up behind them. And I'm like, that's going to melt my brain. Dude, like, I live in numbers in golf, but that would melt my brain.
I can barely handle one. But I do want to I do want to make a follow-up point about TrackMan and say that I'm not totally allergic to it. And what I mean by that is I actually had a recent fitting with Titleist. Shout out to the new TSR products, which you are going to get a serious, serious workout with next week at Ballyhack. We'll talk about that in a bit. But using TrackMan, this was in an indoor setup hitting to an outdoor range. I think the difference there, and I'm trying to figure it out, because I hit irons in both places and they were great. And I hit woods in both places and they made a lot more sense to me. What I think the difference between the two was, internally, they had this like little arrow on the ground said hit to this, whereas outside he said I'm aiming at this pin. So it allowed me to like do my own insane in the head math as to where I'm aiming to, and it's no longer like a thing right in front of me. So yeah, I think full circle, I can't believe how much. So I went out and played nine with the family tonight, as I mentioned, and it took me five holes to unscramble 2 hours worth of trying to hit at a little target. And this is where I really, really want to go in the weeds a little bit on this, because I've got a buddy who, he's a great player, awesome ball striker, super fun to be around. Shout out to him if he actually ever figures out how to listen to a podcast. He probably won't, so I can be as rude as I want if I really feel like it. But you know, of all things that just absolutely rattle him about my golf course, it's alignment. And I've talked to people about this. Like, every hole on my golf course is set up to a place you don't want to hit to. So like the very first hole is aimed into the right, I don't know what to call it, like heather, gunch. Disaster.
I gunch. Call it gunch.
Yeah. So you basically just want to pull it, or like turn it over a bit, whatever it is. So like every hole is like the 10th hole is aimed at the 11th green, for God's sakes. And it's, I've seen people come and crumble within 12 holes, because eventually you just really start disagreeing with what the golf course is set up. Whereas you see a lot of these people go to like tree line golf courses and everything is so structured there.
That's right here.
Yeah. Boxes, like the cut patterns, the mowing patterns, like it's all telling you to go to a certain direction. As soon as you start messing with that a little bit, like everything gets weird. And for him, every time he's playing bad, the first thing I do is check his alignment. And it's unbelievable how much he shifts, to the point where we're like, we're going to take your target. And then the last thing we're going to do is totally eliminate everything you looked at. You're going to stand up straight. You're going to put your hands out in front of you and drop the club down as though you're not even aiming at anything. And when he does that, he just rips bombs. And it's like, dude, alignment is an unbelievably brutal thing in golf. Do you share that experiences? Have you seen people who are like that?
Well, I mean, hell, I share that experience on your course. But think about it. Every time we've played out there, every single round, I get more comfortable with the visuals and my aim points improve, and it makes everything more playable with it. Like it's one of those things that's very, very real. Alignment for me, coaching, is just brutal with kids, especially with some of the courses that we play on where they've got guys that are in maintenance setting tee markers that don't play golf. So they just stick the tees in the ground, and kids and amateur golfers will set up to a tee box no matter where it's aimed. It could be one of the courses that we play regularly. It's the first hole, has the driving range down the right side. There's a lot of courses that are just like it, and they will set up those tee markers a little bit cattywampus. And there's my Oklahoma language in there for
Catty
you.
Catty
cattywampus. And they're aimed at the range, which is out of bounds. And you will watch group after group go to that tee box and set up and just hammer it into the range. And I'm over there like yelling at my kids, you have all of this room, like hit it as far left as you can. But it's alignment's hard because it's one of those things where you feel like you're set up one way and it's just not real. Feel isn't real in golf. And that's what makes it so frustrating for a lot of people. But alignment can be brutal. It'll ruin a day for sure.
Yeah. That's the one thing I try and do when I get out to the range. And I know people make, they give a lot of grief for people who carry alignment sticks around, but the more I do it and the more time I spend on the range, just committing, like visually speaking. And I want to circle back on this because it's especially relevant on the putter. If you convince yourself after like pulling three putts that you should be aiming in a different spot, your brain is going to tell you that's now straight. Mm-hmm. Even though your face is doing something wrong, your brain is going to convince you that a straight putt is actually like way out to the right. Cause what you're doing is you're shutting the head down and that's going to go straight down the line into the hole. So I think that plays directly out. And it's a starting point on a putting green because it's so blatantly obvious.
Yes.
But when you move into like a full swing golf swing, you're effectively doing the same thing. If let's say, for example, you're a pull player, and this is one thing that I've been working on with my buddy, Adam, you slowly start to aim more and more right. It's a natural, if you're a right-handed golfer and you're playing a pull, you're slowly going to move more and more right. And you're slowly going to start pulling the ball more and more and more. It's a natural progression because you want to start on the right side. But the only way to do that is to aim for the right.
Yep.
So when you look down, you're like, well, my ball's going straight, so I'm dead down the middle of the fairway. Well, no, actually, you're not. And then when you get corrected and you blast one out to the right, you're like, well, what happened? It went dead straight to the right. It's like, well, you're not pulling it anymore. You're now hitting your path on a normalized swing plane, and you're not turning it over anymore because now your face angle is messed up. Like, dude, I don't think alignment gets talked about enough because there are so many things that it breaks in the golf swing.
Nope.
And it's such a scary deal. I wonder out there, I kind of want to call to action. We'll get a thread going on THP forums to be talking about this. I feel like alignment's going to be a primary component of it. I want to know how many of you actually spend much time either setting up with alignment sticks on the driving range or on the putting green. How familiar are you with your alignment? And I'm going to circle that back to you, James. I know you talked about your kids on a certain tee box, but when you get them on the range, when you get yourself on the range, do you ever set it up to like make sure your alignment's correct?
Every single, every single golfer who's invested on my teams have alignment sticks in the bag. Period. End of the conversation. If they don't have them, I go to Lowe's and buy driveway markers for them.
I was going to say Lowe's or Home Depot, the 250 special.
And I put driveway markers in their bags, even for if it's a kid who doesn't like to hit a lot of range, when they're out on the course and the course is slow, put your alignment markers down and look at where you're at. It's one of my favorite things. And you kind of mentioned it earlier, like a kid will be struggling and they get sick of me saying it, like, did you check your grip? Did you check your alignment? And if they ignore it and they keep doing it, I will pause them over the golf ball. Don't you freaking move. And put a club in front of their club face and put a club down their foot line and make them back off of it. And every single time their feet are aimed extremely right and their club is aimed across that to where there's zero chance. You have no chance. You're going to get lucky. And I think a lot of that falls into we as humans are so analytical with what we do in golf. We can't understand that sometimes you just miss. You mentioned putting. It's my biggest pet peeve in putting. And I tell people all the time, did you hit your line? Yes. Did you hit the pace you wanted? Yes. What happened? I missed. Who gives a crap? And I can't say what I tell my kids, but it's who gives a crap.
Like, well, we can say we're generous on here. Who gives a shit? Is that what you're trying to say? Yeah, it's fine.
And it's to all of them. Like it's flat. Well, I just want to, you know, I take blame for a lot of things. I don't want to get the explicit thing on it. Right.
I heard the real vulgar thing come out earlier.
It's the real thing. Like if you picked your target, you swung to your target, you putted to your target, your stroke went to it, whatever else, you hit your target and you missed, who gives a shit? Because golf is a game of misses. Hell, on the PGA Tour from 10 feet, they only make like 30-some% of the time.
Oh, we're not doing this for a second week. We're not doing the statistical
but it's
thing.
But it's a truth. Yeah. Like it's the aspect of it is we warp our brains and you do it, I do it. We've all done it at some point. Well, and it's the hardest thing to get, and with kids, it's even harder. But we don't grasp it well. We don't, because there has to be another reason. There has to be another reason. Like, why did I miss? Because golf's freaking hard.
Yeah,
that's why you missed.
I blamed at least two putts on a footprint tonight. So
now there's don't get me started, because we just had a whole conversation in practice today about gentlemen who do not pick their feet up on the greens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like an emotional target.
It's a very emotional and touchy issue.
Wait, is Oklahoma, are the greens there fairly firm? I assume they'd be fairly firm. Are they soft?
Depends on where you're at. Our course is pretty soft because about 3 years ago it went through a shutdown period and it was left kind of unkept for about a year and a half. So they're trying to slowly keep them alive. So there's a lot of water on them. They're really soft and they're bent. Interestingly, both of the courses I play are actually bent around here, which is surprising. But one stays a little more firm. The other one's a little on the softer side. So you really notice all those things.
Yeah, so we played an evening round tonight, and the worst part, James, is when you get to that like sunset level time of the day, and you can see every little imperfection on the green, and you make what you assume to be the absolute perfect putt. I mean, like, let's get on the tour with this putt, and then it like bumps a little bit, and you're like, oh, my day's ruined. If it was 7:30 in the morning, that was in. Like, come
on. Or it gets a little bit airborne, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. End over end. What happened? No one's ever experienced anything like that, but yeah, you know, that we're all kind of circling around, and I love this episode's taking this turn, because full credit to this setup indoors. It was a really neat spot. They have fitters there. They have lessons there. They have specific companies coming in and fully fitting a number of days of the week.
That's
they
awesome.
Have one of the true, I can't think of the name. It's like a really cool putting green that actually shows lines in the green itself. I feel badly. I can't think of the name of that, and then they actually have like a whole TPI section with like a workout thing, man. It was a great spot. I just need to sort of normalize what is wrong, I guess, before I go into that like simple simulator setup. But the great thing, James, and this is one thing that I'm super excited about for golf, is I have options, and this is one option, and I would totally go back and do another par three contest there, because, you know, I'll take my hole in one, whether it's digital or legit. I don't care. But we also have Topgolf the same distance away from me. We also have, you know, all these different locations that have different options to play on. And I love that people have that freedom, and you know, for me, I think Top Golf is probably a little bit of a better expenditure at this point, but you know, we'll see. We might give it another shot when that white stuff starts trickling down again. Do you have good options locally for you?
I don't, but I'm kind of in between everything. There's, interestingly enough, being next to Stillwater, there's not been anybody that's really gone that way yet. I wouldn't be surprised to see something in that indoor setup kind of thing. So I've worked to kind of start to build an indoor setup for me, and then one for my team. So we have options, because eventually, I mean, if you're as addicted to golf as we are, hopelessly and endlessly, I mean, when you get to that time of the year, any golf is better than no golf. And I think places like that, like Top Golf and these indoor places with the bars and all the other stuff that go with it, have done a great job of facilitating this wave we are on in golf right now, right? Because whereas before, it's really easy to say, yeah, I'm going to take up golf, and if you hit winter time, you're just done. Well, now if you really do get the bug in the middle of all this, because we are still in a big golf boom, you've got options. And I think a lot of the indoor places are cool for people who aren't quite comfortable enough to go out on a real golf course yet.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so interesting. I always looked at places like Topgolf, and I know there's other variations of that. I think mostly in like Florida and Atlanta, places that are more reasonably available. But I wonder what it's like for those folks. I'm trying to track this because we're going through it right now with my son Calvin, where he sees the flight in the air. And his experience, his positive attitude, his excitement for the game is directly related to how airborne his ball gets and what shape it's going in. So when it comes to like an indoor setup, whether it's Trackman or GC Quad or, you know, some of the other options, you don't get that same level of excitement when everything's based on a number. Whereas you go to like a Topgolf, well, now your ball is elevated and now your ball is landing in an area. Like you actually meant to do that. Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious for those folks out there who are either getting into the game or looking to improve to a certain level. Is it more rewarding to see that on a simulator because you get to play some pretty cool courses or whatever it is? We played St. Andrews. I mean, actually it's a bit of a funny story there, but, or is it like when you go to a Topgolf, like, do you like seeing that flight in the air? Do you like seeing that ball take off with the lights, the way it's set up? Really, really cool. I'm really curious about that.
I think something to kind of throw in there too, and Foresight. I don't have a whole lot of experience with Trackman. I know Trackman has a lot of different apps and stuff that go into it and games and such, but Foresight's done, because it's where most of my experience lies on all this. They've got a lot of really cool games.
Oh, yeah.
As far as, hey, and I will tell you, with some of our younger kids, it has been amazing. You put some of the Target games on, the Zombies game. The high school kids love, like, the Zombies game is very interesting to them. Like, but you make a simulator setup more enjoyable where they're still working on striking the ball.
Yeah.
But now so it's, companies are doing a lot of that stuff. Now, I don't know how many of the indoor facilities make use of stuff like that. That's where Topgolf I do think is superior, because mm-hmm. there is all this other stuff. There's all the flashing lights and screens, and you get to see the targets and you get to see all the stuff, but more importantly, you get to see where the golf ball goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that sense, and I will say that Trackman does have the same sort of concepts built in. I said skip the games part. I don't really care about it, but I know there's like the carnival game style stuff going on and target practice.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody, but it's something. Yeah.
So I do have a bit of story, and I know he listens to the pod, so he's gonna love this. So we're at St. Andrews, and by at St. Andrews, I mean we're in Cincinnati on a simulator at St. Andrews, and our buddy Andy hits into an old pot bunker, and it didn't like land in the middle of the pot bunker. It landed like on the front side, and really, really, and truly, if he was there in person, he'd have had probably both knees on the ground trying to hit this shot. So I was sitting on an ottoman. Do we call them ottomans in America? Is that what they're called?
Yes, like a little stool-looking thing? Yes, we do use the word ottoman, yes. Cattywampus.
So I took it over to him, and I was like, you need to simulate your lie. So now I've got this kid on half his leg, or a knee on an ottoman, hitting out of this thing. And full credit to him, he had a good time and did it. It was really funny. And I think that's what I really like about like the off. Well, I was about to name the podcast when
the
you're
off
not,
course,
yeah,
the off course,
the off course yeah. golf activities that
the
you can get into,
off course, activities.
The goofiness you can do, whether it's inside in a simulator setting, whether it's at a club or not a club champion, but at a top golf or something like that. I love that golf can be so casual. You can sort of laugh your way through it.
Yep.
And I got a sense at that point that we were doing a little bit more than just banging balls. And I love that. Golf should be a social experience. I mean, last time you were here that we played together, it was a very social experience with a tiny little bit of golf put into it. I love that golf has that identity. And I hope it continues to grow, because it's not like we're getting younger. So the experience for us has to be... Maybe you feel the same way. Do you feel like as your golf progresses, it becomes more and more about the company and less about the absolute performance aspect of the game?
100%. I am. And it doesn't mean like I go out to a round and I think, oh, well, whatever the hell happens today. But it's way more. I mean, I texted you this week, like, well, okay, what are we doing this winter? Like when crap gets bad, like where are we going to go? Let's go somewhere, because yeah, we will inevitably end up doing something somewhere where we can play golf, but it's beyond that. And I do think as you get older, you kind of embrace that more. But I will say, I do think since COVID and the boom with golf and everything that's gone into it, the dynamic of people that have come into golf are much more akin to that as well.
Yeah,
because they're coming from other areas. And personally, I think that's good for golf. But you know where I stand on that. I think we are far too stuffy on a lot of things that we do. And you're missing things because you're so hyper fixated on the little things. That's not to say the little things don't matter, but you've got to see the world for what it is. And I know as I get closer to 40, I definitely start thinking about that stuff. I know I'm going to get there before you do. So don't worry about it.
Tragic. I know. Yeah. I would agree that I think golf takes itself a little bit too seriously at times. But there's also a way to not take the game seriously, but also respect everyone else. And I'm in a really wonderful time in my life where I get to instill all of my important golf perspectives by deleting like the nonsense that goes through my head into my son. And the first three lessons are effectively have a great time, you know, own every shot you hit and be happy about the fact that you're out here. And respect everyone else. Like those are like the three critical components of what I'm going to teach my son. And at no point in there is like beat everyone else, take every shot unbelievably seriously. You know, it's a cutthroat battle out here. We're waiting on your first contract, so figure it out. You know, you know, none of that's there. I think it's cool that we can have this part where it's like just enjoy every aspect of this. And I hope everyone's kind of feeling the same way. But you know, circling back to where we're going, I've heard we've got an open invite to Arizona, so that could be a thing.
I'm in. And,
the other thing is, I've been flipping a coin right now all through this episode from our good buddies down at True Blue.
There's massive emotional attachment.
Yeah.
There, yeah.
True Blue down in Caledonia, down in Myrtle Beach. We got options, but before we go, I do want to say you have a really incredible experience coming up, and I hope everyone has an opportunity to experience THP in the forums the way that we do. But you are going to Ballyhack next week, one of my new favorite places on the planet, to play some golf. I believe you're out there with Titleist and THP.
Yes, sir.
And a couple super lucky community members hit the new TSR lineup. Is that right?
There are 8 THP members that are going to the Titleist experience with THP. And the cool thing about this one is not just that it's in Ballyhack, and I've never been to Virginia, so this is a new trip for me going on Monday. Everybody in it got to go get fit by Titleist fitters. Titleist set all of it up for all of us. And everybody's going to receive the new TSR driver in whichever fairway wood they were fit into. So beyond that, the coolest thing, and I've been to a lot of really neat things over a decade plus, 12 years on THP. All of Titleist, like the people who create all of this are going to be there, and they're going to be fair game and truly, instead of there being a competition on the line, there's going to be a big focus on being around them. So people really get to ask all the questions that they want to, which, as you know, and we've been fortunate to do a lot of these really cool stuff. Like there's nothing like getting to see people sit down with the people who create these golf clubs that we all fawn over. Beyond that, I hit the driver really good, so I'm pretty excited to get it.
What'd you end up in? TSR4, right?
I am the only one in the group that ended up in the TSR4, which is the 430cc head with a Ventus Black 6X in it. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then I actually ended up in the TSR 2+ fairway wood. So the 13 degree fairway wood, which okay. as you know, that shouldn't surprise you. I love low lofted three woods.
Yeah. So. No elevator tech for you. That's cool. Yeah. I'm still waiting for that invite, even though I've already been there selfishly. I'd love to go back. But one of the things I noticed that it costs a lot of money to drive through West Virginia. So if I can't just casually drive the 6.5 hours hoping that, you know, they let me back in, maybe I'll just have to watch like everyone else and follow along in the forum. Either way, you're in for an absolute treat. If you're not familiar out there listening in, Ballyhack is a part of the Dormy Network, which is an insane collection of golf courses that, I mean, they're just a treat to experience overall. So hopefully you even see some sunlight there, which would be super cool. We got the aggressive Ballyhack experience,
yes, you did.
Which
yes,
I you loved, did. By the way. It was awesome. And shout out to the guys. You know, hopefully you have Tom, who is an awesome caddy. Love that guy. So I have like 100 things we didn't talk about, but I think the alignment discussion is a really interesting one. And I love that we went as deep as we did with it. Is there anything you feel like we need to be talking about tonight that we didn't address?
I mean, we had a whole list of things that this is how it works, right?
Yeah.
But no, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in golf right now, and we're fixing to get into silly season as far as releases and everything that goes with it and the leaked photos and that kind of stuff. But to me, like, it's fun to get to a basic conversation of something that is at the root of golf. Alignment seems boring on the outside of it all, but it's something that we all struggle with, no matter how good you are.
It's boring until you put one down and try and solve the fact why the hell you're aiming not where you thought you were aiming.
Which that's my favorite thing about it, though, because people are like, oh, I don't want to put a stick down. I'm like, do you ever watch any of the range sessions they televise?
Yeah.
Every single one of those dudes put alignment sticks down.
Yeah.
And you don't even need alignment sticks. Use a golf club.
Yeah, it's
fun
for
fact.
Sure.
Fun fact, golf shafts are straight. So you can set golf shafts down at it and do the same thing as you can with your fancy alignment sticks. You're going to Lowe's and buying some driveway markers, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, man, I need you back on. We have all kinds of stuff we still need to talk about. I want to go through a range finder discussion with you. I want to talk about drinking on the golf course. I want to talk about the next big hitter between joggers, hoodies, and what's next in golf. Like, there are so many little bits and bobs I really want to touch on that we didn't get a chance to. So let's get you back on the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
We can talk about that and Ballyhack by that point, since you'll have gone through it and have sent me videos of what's new in the pro shop that I feel like I'm missing out on. So
I'll buy you something fun.
Yeah. Either way, my guy, let's, I just want to thank you for being on here and having a super cool conversation with me. I hope you have a blast this week or next week.
Well, thank you, brother. It's always fun to come on here and talk whatever we end up talking, because it's a good, genuine, earnest conversation. And I think that's what golf needs more of.
Nice. Well, hey, everyone out there, I hope you enjoyed it. I hope we didn't terrify you with all this crazy avenues we took. And I hope you're playing golf this weekend. I feel like for a lot of states, we're counting down the days and definitely counting them down in the provinces, if you will. So please do enjoy yourself if you are playing. Don't take the game too seriously. Just have fun. For everything else, there's alcohol. And we'll catch you next week with another new episode.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.